we have to, and we can, we have to. Honourable members, we are on 22-7. A one-liner. I'm trying to understand the context in which you put it in there. And it has not been covered by suggestions made earlier on. Remember, we're talking about the board and its performance. I'm not sure if we've covered it somewhere else, or what were we trying to say when we, or how would we defend that when we left it in. Those are the questions that must always be at the back of our mind. Honourable Killian and then Honourable McQuenna.
Chairperson, at first glance, I did not have a problem with it. I just have one little question mark, and that is whether these operational decisions were in fact not part of the delegation of authority framework, which were no longer presented to them. That is just a sort of the caveat that I wanted to place there, to say, can we accuse them of that? Is it as a result of that, or is it because the DAF was amended, and which gave the executive free rein? That is just my concern. Thanks.
Honourable Mokwena and then Honourable Chauke.
The context that would be relevant for me in this particular case is the lack of the board to maintain the integrity of the SABC in as far as contracts like the TNA and multi-choice and so on and so forth. These are operational decisions that could have and compromise the integrity of the SABC. And the board failed to oversee that.
Chair, due to the removal of the power of the board, both the MOI that give power and delegated the executive to be the one that deals with issues of operation. The board was no longer involved then. Maybe we should craft a line that deals with, but it will definitely fall under the MOI, not here, that deals with the removal of powers of the board, because they were no longer in charge of the operational of the organization. So therefore, I'm going to propose that we try and locate under the powers of the board, removed, maybe under MOI rather than putting it in this level. By this time, the board did not have authority anymore on operational matters.
No, I'll always play devil's advocate and whatever. Yeah. I mean, when we look, honorable members, at the and I'm sorry that we always harp on it, but there were some contracts where the board was still in place when they were not signed or whatever. So we can't exonerate the board that it was through DAF only. It's true that DAF played a certain role. But there were other instances where we had evidence that the board either, after legal opinion, were divided and or were complicit or whatever the case might be. So I don't have a view one way or the other, but just to say that, well, it was because of the DAF or the MOI, and therefore they must be exonerated. That's all that I'm asking. And that is why I'm arguing, somebody must convince me that we must take it out. Let's take Chauke and then you'll follow Killian.
Maybe, Chair, the line will be to deal with the impact of the DAF and the MOI which sort of strip the authority of the board. I'm not saying that you remove it to that extent. Maybe we then deal with the line that says the implication of a MOI, I mean, of DEF and MOI led to the board failing to do oversight over operational matters.
Chairperson, I think we can make that one work. Now, I would like to propose the following. We keep it as it is. The board failed to ratify operational decisions, but then we insert or to engage the shareholder on the implications of amendments to the MOI and the delegation of authority framework, which impacted directly on the public broadcaster's mandate, its financial management and competitiveness.
I'm looking at other members. Can we put that in? Has it? Yes? Thank you. That's 22-7, 22-8. Remember, we're dealing with observations, we're dealing with findings, and we're dealing with the failure of the board to exercise its mandate. Anything outside of that will have to find a home somewhere else. So does this fit here? Does this make sense, and can we defend it in terms of the board? Any takers?
Just on the reference to round robin decision making, we might need to just add after that in brackets, albeit later ratified at the next Corate meeting, because that's what they say, and we can accept that. I think there was a question as to whether they were meetings of the board or not, but I think we need to say that. We can qualify it by saying purportedly ratified, but we need to just make that there was an attempt to ratify, or whether they were ratified or not at the next meeting. So the suggestion is round robin decision making brackets, albeit later ratified at the next Corate meeting, close brackets full stop, or purportedly ratified.
All right, before we recognize Waters and Killian, can I make a suggestion, because I think this was very early when we were very inexperienced. If we took out the first two lines and we said board members reported unusually large numbers of board meetings and so on, because we're talking here about the board's functionality or otherwise. So my suggestion says, and then we'll allow you Waters and then we'll allow you Killian, but I'm just suggesting, and I don't know who introduced it, they will defend it. My suggestion says we start with the reason why they were not functioning was because they met too often, they met at short notice, they met round robin and all those type of things. So that first part about the organizing, I don't think should be there. That's my view, but I'd recognize Waters, I'd recognize Killian, I'd recognize Matango, I'd recognize Kubisa, I'd recognize Chauke, and then Honorable Swartz, you will wrap it up for us. Sir. Swartz, you want to say something on that matter? Okay. Waters?
Chair, thank you. Chair, I'm not sure I read in the SABC's documents or anywhere else that with round robins, all decisions were then ratified by the board at a formal constituted meeting. I don't remember reading that. What I do remember reading was an explanation in the SABC's submission where they said in one instance, and I forget the issue that was being addressed, but they did a round robin, and then that was that particular issue was ratified by the executive of the board, not the full board. Do you remember that? So I don't, we dealt with it yesterday actually, but I don't remember the SAB saying that for every round robin that happened, there was then a follow-up meeting of the board that was called. So I would suggest that we just leave it as it is.
But bearing in mind, honourable members, I agree with you. We don't have to take it as gospel. But I recall Teresa Hellenis talking about round robins being ratified. But I'm saying, and that goes to transcripts. But we'll take all these points and look at it. But yeah, let's take the next speaker. Mahlangu, I think it was you.
Chair, my view is that we should leave the whole paragraph as it is. Remember, the board secretary is a very important person in the board, and he has this responsibility to guide, to advise, and so on and so on and so on. So, having all these things that we are talking about, of many meetings, are things that the board secretary would have advised whoever convened the meeting that, I don't think it's the right thing, in terms of whatever. So I think the sentence is perfect from where I am.
I think it was, we should use it as a Chair,
sorry, Chair. Chairperson, I also believe that we should maintain it, we should keep it. The role of the company secretary is a crucial one. It's described in the Companies Act, it's described in the MOI. You will recall that in the Auditor General's report, Public Protector's report, they referred to the vast number of special, and the Auditor General, special meetings of the board, which created instability. Now that continued. That was a part of previous boards. That continued. There was a schedule of meetings presented by the company secretary, and we posed the question. We said, why so many special meetings? Where's your plan of regular meetings? So I would like to suggest that we maintain it, but that we don't only refer to the former board members, because it's not a gossip story. It is fact. Evidence was presented that there were an unusually large number of special meetings convened at short notice and without proper notification and adequate documentation, and frequent round-robin decision-making. The fact is, irrespective of the fact, we have engaged on that matter before. You do not have, and some of the board members complained, they said they didn't want to have any engagement on matters. They would prefer the round robin because then there would be no differences of opinion. And that is a very bad thing, Chairperson. So we should not try to cover up to say, yes, but it was ratified afterwards. That's not the point. The point is, why does a big corporation operate on the basis of round robin decision making? You cannot operate such a big company like that. So I would like to support the idea that we keep it in. We can maybe fine-tune it, would say evidence was also provided, but we keep it in, please, Chair.
Honourable Professor Kubisi.
Chair, I would have kept this. I would have divided the sentence into two. Despite the company secretary having served in the position for a long period of time, and having been highly experienced and highly qualified, evidence suggests that she failed to guide the board accordingly. Full stop. Then the next sentence will start, former board members, or we say board members, then that would be a new sentence altogether. Or the sentence that follows.
I'll take the sentence that follows, we take it as it is.
As it is.
Thank you, sir. Chauke, Swartz and Waters.
Well, thanks, Chair. The prof has
covered the point. The point of yours is we need to make a reflection on the company secretary, and I think the separation of this paragraph, in fact, they begin to speak of the secretary and the role of the secretary. As much as we're dealing with the board, we have the next person that comes in automatically, the secretary of the organization, who is the key person. So I think that Prof, in his separation, he made a very good point there. So we can separate, have a reflection on the company secretary with the very same heading as we did with his qualification, experience and all of that, but then fail to advise and give direction to the board. And I think if we were to follow that line in the paragraph, it would make sense, because I wanted us to reflect on that particular office.
Thank you, sir. Swart, and then horses.
Chair, there definitely is evidence about the decisions. Firstly, round-robin decision-making is allowed in terms of the Companies Act. It's not desirable, but it's allowed. But if you look on page 133 of the report, it says there that, yeah, it says all round-robins, their approval at the next meeting. These were tabled at the next court meeting to be ratified and written. There's an annex of all the meetings for the 2 years, and all of them were ratified. Now, we did pick up that one was purportedly ratified at an EXCO meeting. So I'm not saying that, I'm not accepting necessarily this version that all ratifications were correct, but just to say that there was decision-making without any reference to any subsequent meeting. It's a small sentence, just to put in brackets, albeit later ratified at the next court meeting, full stop. That's only the suggestion. And then the next sentence that starts this contradiction, well, it's not a contradiction, it's a modus operandi, I would suggest. That if we are then saying this modus operandi appears to point to deliberate attempts to stifle board dissent, that would be, I don't see a contradiction, I see rather a modus operandi. So I just want for us to consider that to correctly reflect what factually happened. If we look at the annexures, there are annexures of every round-robin meeting and ratification in Annexure AC26 of the documentation. So we can't say we don't know about that, Chair. And there was other evidence as well.
Honourable Waters.
Chair, I mean, having round robins, as we state here, does stifle divergent views and sharing of cross-pollination of views and trying to convince someone that maybe your idea is correct and theirs isn't, you know, and winning people over. And while I hear Honourable Swartz, the fact of the matter is having a meeting after the fact where, you know, the decision was, the round robin happened, whatever the decision was could have been implemented, and then a week or two or a month later then you have a correct board meeting that ratifies it, does show the rot of governance at the SABC. So I think we've captured that correctly. Chair, if you know, the Honourable Swart does refer to page 133 where he says the SABC does say that they did have board meetings to ratify every decision. If we put that in, you know, I don't think it detracts it from the fact that there were many, many, many round robin taking place.
Okay, we'll marry the two, because I'm saying it doesn't dilute the fact that there were extraordinarily high occasions where round robins were how decisions were taken. So I don't think it divorces or it dilutes that. Can we, Honourable Causa suggested that we add the paragraph that says the board failed to implement fully, I think, Honourable Causa, because they did it partly, I think, fully implement the public protection. Cindy, have we got that one? We need to do that. That's what she suggested much earlier on, that we point to the fact that the board didn't implement it in full and also didn't take it on review, I don't think, did they?
No.
No, they didn't. So we'll add that one. I don't know. Mukwena, you were also saying that there will be one more that you'd want to bring in.
No, Chair, I think we also need to comment on the status of the board as now, as we speak now. And that decisions have been taken unilaterally by the GCEO, which are decisions that you've taken by the board, right? The acting GCEO. So I crafted a thing to say that the committee notes. Okay, no problem. The committee notes that at the adoption of this report, the SABC was without a board. Because initially we said that it was dysfunctional. Without a core, yeah. Okay. All the non-executive members were either dismissed or resigned of their own accord. There were only two executive members who are in acting capacity, with the acting GCEO currently making unilateral governance decisions, as was observed in the appeal case against the Western Cape High Court's decision to dismiss Mr. Mutshwane. I think we need to put that so that we, because then it will inform our recommendations as well.
No holy cows and no silly suggestions. All of them will be put on the table and considered. There's an addition. Oh, the public protector, I'm assuming we're all in agreement with. There's a suggestion that says we should talk about the current status of the board or the board as it will be at the end of the day tomorrow. Happy? Yes, Honourable Killian?
Just when we adjourned to go to the House Chair, I made the comment about my concern that there was such a high staff turnover and that there were so many cases taken to the CCMA and all of that. So the human resource management was in tatters. And we did not get any indication that the board was concerned about what happened. I think one of the former board members, Ms. Kalida, said that they were not aware of the amendment to the MOI, which effectively allowed the executive to no longer bring the human resource matters to the board. Now, that resulted in huge financial losses for the SABC because so many people were, in fact, given mutually agreed separation packages. So I think we should capture that one as well, Chairperson.
The point I'm making, Honourable Killian, 2227 says, had a direct impact on the public broadcaster's mandate, its financial management, and its competence. That talks to your point, or do you want to be, because once we go to HR, then we must go to others, but we are saying that it had an impact, their inability to perform as a team had a direct impact on the financial management. Are you happy with that one? Or do you still want to add your one? No, thanks. All right. 22.28, it'll change obviously because we added one, and we've added the two about the implementation in full or taking on review of the public protector's report and the current status of the board. Those are the two that we've added to this. Is there anything else around fiduciary duties that members want to add? No. Yes, Honourable Killian.
Chairperson, I hear what you're saying about paragraph 22.2.7. I was under the impression that we would probably get to a recommendation where we would argue that appointments made in recent times, some of them clearly irregularly so. If we don't mention that in our observations, as a matter of concern and an oversight by the board, how do we then jump to that recommendation? I just want to make that point. And that is why I thought it was important to make such a sort of a finding with regards to serious challenges in the HR management of the corporation.
Can I refer you to page 73 of your document? 2511. Thank you very much. So that deals with fiduciary duties. The next heading, financial management and sustainability. That is on page 69. The oh no, oh sorry. Cindy is reminding me that before we go to financial management, Dr. Kozza has suggested that we have a new heading called Dysfunction of the Board, and I think you said we must take one because we're going to use it as a recommendation. And I think that was 22.2.1. The first sentence, can members just go there? You've got that one? On page 67? 22.2.1. The very first sentence will then go under a separate heading named Dysfunctionality of the Board or something to that effect. Is that okay? Are you talking on this point? No, I'm talking, okay, are you talking on that point? Yes, I'm saying when we were there, Dr. Kozza suggested we take the first sentence out, put it under a separate heading. Now I'm asking the question, is that still what we want to do or not, before we even go to anything else you're saying? Then we'll come to you, okay?
Frankly, I honestly don't think, I would be happy even if we leave it out. The reason being that I'm thinking that we have a whole range of other points under fiduciary duties, and maybe if we put that one, it might mean that we are only focusing on that, if you know what I mean. I don't know if...
But I think, I agree, but I think that almost ties into Mokwena's, just read that sentence, does it not tie into a certain extent, Mokwena, to your sponsored one? If you read the first sentence on page 67, on page 67, the first sentence, 22.2.1. Just the first sentence. The question is, do we take it out totally or will we marry it, as you suggested? I know it doesn't cover everything. Dr. Kozza was suggesting we take this one out totally, and I don't have a problem with that. But we'll come to Chowke if she wants to talk to that. Look at it whilst we listen to what Honourable Chowke is saying. Honourable Chowke?
I'm just a little bit lost, other than maybe to suggest that the point that we have not put in is to reflect on the status of the board when we started. There's this point of here we deal with the three non-executive, and we have not reflected on the only one single man, meaning that the non-executive, Professor Maguva. I thought that maybe we'll have, in line with this line, if we don't take it out, we leave it, but add a line that speaks of one non-executive who is the chair remaining when we started the work. I thought maybe we can just add that line in. So if you are to leave it like that, that must reflect on the non-executive, and the non-executive at that time is the Professor Maguva, who was the chair. You remember, he only resigned during the hearing. Then resigned. I'm not sure if you have to put that, I'm just throwing it in, but I think it will make a lot of sense, so that if you look at how was the board by the time we started the inquiry, both the non-executive and the executive.
Dr. Kozza, all right. I'm coming to you. Yours, I think yours is fine. We'll leave what it stands like now, but we'll come to Kozza on this one.
No, I I thought that we had dealt with this exhaustively. The only thing that we were going back to was the issue of the subheading. Did I get you right?
No, then me and Cindy didn't understand. When we were here, we thought we understood you to say that that first sentence that talks about the non-functionality of the board must be lifted and put under another heading. That's what we had understood you to be saying.
Yes, that's what I had said earlier. But I am saying, if you look, I think it might mess up the numbering. And I'm thinking now, once, because we've already gone through all the other points, and they all tie in very nicely with fiduciary duties. So I'm actually retracting my earlier proposal, given the fact that it may disrupt the flow of the document.
That's fine. And added to that, Honorable Chauke is then saying we add three executive board members and one non-executive. So that's the first page. That's what you suggested. Members of 22.2. Is that this? Yes. 22.3, financial management and sustainability. 22.3.1. Comments, Honorable Killian?
Chairperson, I would like to suggest that we accept it. Just one little comment, and that is, if we speak of the SABC, maybe we should refer to the executive management.
We can leave it in?
Yes.
We'll come in after that, Chauke.
Oh,
no, you again, Chauke?
Yes, I was actually saying, I don't know, you know, the issue that Chauke is raising, the matter that Chauke is raising raises other problems. I think colleagues are aware that in the documents that we received from CIPC, the company secretary was also a board member. Yes, the director, sorry. But that didn't give, but when you are a director, you are in the board. What is it saying? It's just something that doesn't gel properly. And something that we've not obviously dealt with, but something that we must clarify, because it's a bit of an abnormality of some kind. Not that it is not allowed, but what the question of the status, therefore, in the board, because there are two contradictions in that board, which I think we'll deal with it later. Because remember, okay, while I'm on the floor, that in 2012, Klawudi was a director, 2011, sorry, a director, and we know that he served on the board as a, I don't know, now I would assume, having read this 2011, that
he actually was an additional person over and above the three prescribed EXCO members. So it's a huge anomaly. But yeah, which I was going to show you the way back.
I'll keep on keeping you on the straight and narrow. We're talking about the fiduciary duties of the board members. Now, if having an extra one or one that was put on illegally or put on differently affects the fiduciary duties, let's entertain it. But if it's a standalone, let's have it as a standalone. Because remember the heading we're dealing with now is in line with our mandate. Was this board in it? So I'm just wanting to caution against that. But when you answer Mokoena and Waters and Chauke, try and respond to Honorable Matlangu's point, and then Matlangu will have the last bite. Mokoena?
No, Chair, I think in terms of fiduciary duties, we're covered, right? The issues that Honorable Matlangu is raising and Honorable Chauke are important in terms of the administration, the shareholders' administration of SABC matters, because those issues of CIPC, I think they will then fall under, we should have a new heading under the role of shareholders' representative. We should have a new heading that deals primarily with the documentation of the SABC, and that would deal with the MOI being registered, the directors. It will deal with those issues of Saudi being a member from 2011 when he was not a board member. Then we can clump all of that under that heading, and maybe we can call it shareholders administration or something. I don't know.
Chair, in addition to Mr. Watsoneng being a member of the board via the appointment of him being a director and registered as a director, so was the company secretary. So there were two people that were entitled to serve on the board that shouldn't have been there. I think the company secretary date was 2012 in that document in January or something. Right? So it's a classic case of loading a board in order to get a certain outcome. Because you have two people with votes, I take it, that I'm sure we'll have to get the minutes or wherever does the investigation, where they could have actually swung decisions of the board that wouldn't have otherwise been swung, if I put it that way, or voted for. Do you get what I'm saying? They deliberately loaded that board. That's how I see it by... No, I'm not. Sorry. I'm used to, it's great, in Parliament you get heckled, it's better, you know, people are listening. So that's a concern I would think we have to raise and stipulate in our observations as well, if the other members agree, obviously. And I do agree it should be a separate heading. It's an extremely serious matter because the Broadcasting Act is quite clear who can appoint and how people get appointed to the board. And then you can't just unilaterally just make, I like Patrick, so I'm saying he's a director now and I submit the form. So I think we need to stipulate that because the rot goes very far and deep and we need to emphasize that.
Maybe Chair, the point that Honorable Mokoena in support of Honorable Matlangu. And earlier when I started, very, very early, Chair, when we were still dealing with the legislative requirement earlier, there's a point that I made at some point, and that point was a sequence of flouting of the law. Maybe we, maybe we then locate this point under, you know, you are, and I even make an example, Chair, to say you are MOI, you are, you know, all of that, maybe they're listed together. So there's this other point that I wanted to bring, Chair, and you're going to forgive me, Chair. And we have not reflected on it either through our observation. There's this thing that Heldene is company secretary, together with Mr. Mutsweneng, are directors of a particular company under SABC. It was raised during the, what you call, and we have not got into that detail. And I want to propose that maybe as we deal with some of these directors' position and what, have somehow a reflection on that arrangement of a private company owned by Mutsweneng and Heldenes, because it may be operating even outside the SABC. So I'm saying that maybe we have to package them under governance, maybe, you know, under governance, legislation, policy, you know. Yeah, I want to propose that. But maybe we locate this. We may come back to it. I don't have a waiting for it now, but I think the sequence will be, must follow under, you know, issues relating to legislation and still requirement, MOI agreements and all of that.
Yeah, Chairperson, no, I agree that this matter needs to be located somewhere, the one raised by the two honorable members here, not necessarily here. See, because we heard evidence as well at some stage, I remember whether it was Dr. Ngubane, where there were specific questions about the presence of Mr. Mutsweneng at board meetings. And then we were told, well, you know, then we were given, told about his efficiency, et cetera, the young man and what he did in the trenches and so on and so forth. So I think the issue about his attendance at board meetings did come up in evidence. Now we've realized that he was a director, right, as far as CIPC documents is concerned. So what we have to further examine, I don't know if it's us or whoever, or make a point about, is did the company secretary and Mr. Mutsweneng attend in the ex officio capacity? Because you do get people attending board meetings ex officio. Or did they attend as directors? Because I would think that they attended because they were directors. But there was a debate on whether or not they should actually be there or not. So it's an important matter that we need to observe and make a finding on so that it can be clarified moving forward. Thank you.
No, Chair, I think, look, there's a difference between a director and a board member. A director is one who is registered in the CIPC documents as the accounting authority or the owner or shareholder, so to speak, of a company. And then the board is somewhat similar, but in the case of the Broadcasting Act, it's someone who is elected by Parliament or whatever the Broadcasting Act says, plus the three executives. So the roles there were muffled in that you had Saudi who was sitting in board meetings, not as a board member, but probably as a director. And that's and those are the chaos and the contradictions that the minister should have taken care of. I think it confused the roles of who's who in the SABC, and that is the shareholder's responsibility. And that's the reason why I think we should have a heading in the on page 70 under the role of the shareholder representative, to say that she did not oversee any of this chaos in terms of the documentation, who's who, and all of that. So I would place it somewhere else, not under fiduciary duties.
Dr. Koza,
Chair, I'm not sure if this is going to fall under fiduciary duties or where, but I think that we need to be pointing something that says evidence from CIPC on the status of directors at SABC reflects Motsoeneng as a director from, and we put the date from the 28th of November 2011, and Gelden Hayes as the director from that specific date. In other words, we become specific. We refer to that document that we have. And this suggests, to the committee's view, this may suggest a serious breach of the provisions of the Broadcasting Act. Something to that effect, but we may have to get the relevant section of the Broadcasting Act.
I'm not sure you are okay with the issue. Because if this is evidence that we have.
Okay, I think it's well said. I think we can live with what the last speaker said.
Okay, so the point that you've made is we'll find a home for it somewhere else. I just wanted to come to Mukwena's point. There's no distinction here. We're calling it the board, but its full name is Board of Directors. So there's nothing that is a board and a director. It's a board of directors. 12 of them or 9 of them through us, 3 by virtue of their position in the office. That's how I understand it. But what I was trying to say that it's the same thing. That's what I was saying, but let's listen to Mukwena. That's how I understood it. There's no difference. I'm talking about SABC specifically.
The point I was making, Che, is that yes, there is no difference. But in the manner in which it was dealt with at the SABC, there was a difference because you have a person who is not, by Broadcasting Act principles, should not be a board of director, but they are, and they are registered as such. So, you know, I'm not sure if I'm clear.
I'm saying there shouldn't be confusion as if there's two categories of people that should be the accounting authority. That's why it's better to call it accounting authority. Are we still on that point? We've now agreed that we're going to find a home for it somewhere else.
Yes,
and not under fiduciary duty. So can we move on to financial management?
Okay.
Yes.
Can we?
Yes.
Thank you very much. We were on 22.3.1. No, that's what we have dealt with.
Yeah.
Yes. No. Yeah, 22.3.1, Honourable. Anybody want to talk to it? Yes, Dr. Koza.
Chair, I thought that we may have to probably after, before, regardless, you know, under 22.3.1, I thought that it might be important for the committee to pronounce itself that, you know, probably let's have a sentence that this reflects, that means we are talking about their view of the fact that they are not accountable to Parliament reflects their ignorance on, you know, on what constitutes a public, on a public, on the ownership of the public institution, and yes, on the charter of the corporation, because they, to me that's what it reflects. If we are saying you can't account to Parliament, something, we've got to say something to that effect, that it before we can go to regardless. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay, except to say we won't use the word ignorance, we'll use the word lack of understanding. Do that, that one fine.
Yeah,
no, no, I agree, absolutely. Lack of understanding, eh?
Just a two that must get in, Chair, after that it had failed to put in place.
Okay, you got it. Okay, that one is okay?
Yeah.
That's factual. 22.3.3, we recognize Waters and Killian. Hold on, we're going back.
Let's go back.
Yes, sir?
That second sentence in 22.3.2 is actually the finding of the Auditor General. We've taken it as a fact that it's our fault. Should we not say there, it found that, the SABC board? Because we've taken that as a sentence, but if my memory is correct, that is a direct finding of the Auditor General. So it does make a difference. Either we are stating it as our finding, or it's the Auditor General. But it was definitely the Auditor General's finding in the second sentence. It's important.
But if we associate ourselves with the Auditor General's finding, can't we do that? Or do you want us to qualify it?
All I want to say is full stop, it found that the SABC board had failed to discharge its duties. And then that's the quote from their financial statement. But if it's our finding, then it's different. Or we support the finding that the SABC, but that word in there is it us or is it the Auditor General?
All right. Any comments on that one?
Yes,
no, Chair. I'm on the floor.
No, Chair. That's it. I just wanted clarity if it was our finding or the Auditor General, because there's a big difference. We can associate it with the Auditor General, or it can be our finding.
Our findings, because we never did any investigation on that matter. It was the AG's findings.
Then we should just say it found that the SABC board has.
No, I would leave the first sentence as is, because that is factually correct, right? And then say, in lieu of this fact, the committee then found that the SABC board had failed to discharge its duties, because that is our finding.
Chair, I think that's going back, that suggestion is going back to what Honourable Swati is telling us we should not do. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, I'm going to say we note, that's the committee, from the AG's report that the SABC had failed or whatever. We note from the AG's report that it's an observation.
Chairperson, surely the committee, after it has been exposed to information that this was the finding of the Auditor General, we must find that they did not discharge their duties and that they failed to put in place measures to prevent irregular. I mean, we were not the auditors, but clearly we all know what the Public Finance Management Act says, that accounting authorities must put in place effective measures. So it is our finding that how could they have been found to have wasteful expenditure and fruitless expenditure to the value of 92.8 million rand in one financial year if they had in place effective measures. So I would argue with that. It's not only the Auditor General. It's this committee that finds this well.
Swart, you'll have the last say.
What maybe my point, Chair, covered with the SABC board, I was going to try and go deeper to the accounting authority. If we were to look at the PFMA, it speaks directly to the, well, obviously here the accounting authority will be the board, but I do not want the board of the, meaning that the CEO and everybody, they are members of the board, non-executive. So I'm fine, but because I was going to insist on the accounting authority rather than using the board, but fine, the board covers the rest of the people on accounting. Because the issues of fruitless, wasteful expenditure is no check, that at the level of the executive, measures and systems are put in place from that level. of your, I mean, the accounting officer will be your CEO. But here, I think we're now dealing with the board. I was just from that point. But I was going to try and insist on the accounting officer. And the trial, the board is correct.
Chair, I want to align myself with Honorable Swart and Singh. You see, if we're now going to be putting it the way Killen and Honorable Mokwena are putting it, that will be tantamount to plagiarism. We never conducted any audited SABC. But what we found through oral evidence was that indeed the Auditor General, we concur with the Auditor General and we support the Auditor General. But we did not do, we did not find that there is fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We didn't do that. And I concur with Stephen and on Honorable Singh. I think let's stick to that. I don't think they would be really offended if they just give way to that. Because now we are the majority, you see. And now you are the minority now, the two of you.
It's easy, Chief. We just start the sentence by saying the Auditor General found that, and it goes on the sentence. That's perfect. Because that comes directly from their findings.
Yeah.
Then we could, if we want to, say further, the committee concurs with this finding. We could add that as well. Or agrees with this finding. But it's important to say that this was a finding of the Auditor General. And it's definitely, that's the wording they use. So it's easy to start the sentence by saying, with the previous sentence, the Auditor General reported, and you say, it found that the SABC board, etc., etc., and then you've got to put in, after failed, you've got to put in TO, to put in place. Not failed, put in place. Failed to put in place effective measures. Full stop. The committee agrees with this finding.
You'll force me to vote. You guys are going to force me to call a vote against Killian and Mokwena because they seem to want to talk. You'll still have the last say afterwards. Mokwena, everybody seems to say, let's say we support the AG. You have a different view.
Chair, we conducted interview and after interview with the minister, with the boards, with everybody, to ask them what was their responsibility. I remember when we asked Maguve and we said, why did you not conduct investigations into the fruitless expenditure that the AG had found? That those were our questions. We were inquiring. We then found them wanting. And so it is correct to say that the AG report, otherwise we're rendering this committee a lame duck. We must be careful of that. It is correct to say that the Auditor General reported fruitless and wasteful expenditure cumulative to whatever. That is a factual statement. But it is also correct. And I disagree with the fact that we were just plagiarizing the Auditor General's view. We conducted an inquiry into the AG's report with board members and everybody else. And our finding was that they had failed. We must own that responsibility. It's not the AG who told us and then we just kept quiet. We inquired and we found.
Can we put, no, but I see a much. No, we are playing. Can we say after having received or listened to or whatever the evidence, the SABC board failed? Because that came after our hearing, whether it's with the AG, whether it's with whoever. It was not something, and I think both points are there. We didn't go, it's not our original idea. We heard it from somebody, like we heard from the public protector, like we heard from ICASA. And what is the difficulty if we said, after having heard all this evidence, we now support the view. Can we do that? I'm gonna have the casting vote. You're gonna be the absolute last one, ma'am. If you can't convince me, that's where you go in.
Chairperson, I will agree with what you're suggesting. We must remember we're now coming to our findings. We have listed pages upon pages. We have a whole section on the Auditor General. The Auditor General has convinced us. So this is now our section of findings. We're not plagiarizing anything. We're just coming to a conclusion, Chairperson, from which there will be recommendations that we will draft. So please, let us just remember, these are our findings. Otherwise, why is it here?
We're all agreeing on that one. Cindy and I will break the impasse, and you'll get a document tomorrow, and you'll agree with the wording or disagree with the wording. So can we move to 22.3.3? 22.3.3 is one of those that were cut and pasted from the one pager. Killian Waters.
Person, I just want to suggest that we use the Auditor General's findings instead of Auditor General's report.
Honourable Waters? Yes, sir.
Do you have a different view? I don't think it should be in findings. This is the SABC's own personal view about the AG's report, which they dispute. And should it not be under Section D, the summary of inputs, and on page, if you look at 52 of the report, SABC finances, stick it in there if you like, but they're disputing the AG's report. It's not a fact. And I don't think it's our finding at all.
It was originally there yesterday. You guys said take it out of there because it's your statement. We brought it this side. Now you're asking us to take it back. Because I hear what you're saying, Waters, but we are saying we've heard the AG. We've considered what the SABC is saying. And in our view, these two things are contradictory. And when we said that in the inputs yesterday. Member said, no, but that's not an input, that's your view. And that's how we took it out and put it here. So you must tell us where, unless we change the wording, but you must tell, we brought it here as a direct result of you as members saying, it's not, we can't locate it within the SABC, it's our view after having listened to both of them. That's what we said yesterday anyway, and members will concur. So, are we happy? No. What should you say? It can't stay here. What are you saying, Swartz?
Well, it goes to the essence of the process that we are engaging on. And that is the law advisor said there must be a weighing of versions. And then you reach a finding. So here we are weighing versions. We've got a version from the SABC. We've got a version from the SABC. And we say we concur with the version of the SABC. So maybe one can tweak it around to substantiate the finding we are reaching. But it does again illustrate that we are, that's why it's there, that we are considering what the SABC has put. And we are weighing it up with the AG's report and saying, no, we concur with this is what we found. So it's very important that it is put somewhere. I think that it can be there because the finding, you've got two versions. You've got the AG says this, fruitless waste for expenditure. Then you've got the SABC says this, and then you say, we accept what the AG says. You see, so that's a finding. So that's one way of looking at it. I'm not saying it necessarily has to be that way, but it's possible.
Waters, though, you'll be the last. You've introduced it. Let's hear what everybody else says, and we'll come back to you. Loliwe, Killian, Mokwena, Koza, And then Waters, you will take us out of the hole that you dug for us. No, it's fine. Lolive?
Chair, I think in that paragraph we have what the committee is saying as well as what SAPC is saying. because the first part talks to what we as a committee are saying. I suggest then that the part which talks to the view of the committee should remain where that paragraph is. And we take the latter part, which is the last sentence there, where the SABC, but we take out the however part. We say the SABC condemns that its fruitless and wasteful expenditure was caused by the impairment of foreign wara wara wara. We take that to page 52.
Right,
because they would have said that in page 52, but in our finding, we noted that the response and all that was important.
All right, Killian, Mukwena, Koza, and then Waters, you'll have the last slide, so you'll hear what everybody else is saying and take that.
Chairperson, I would agree with what Honourable Loliwe is saying, but I just wanted to say we must be very careful. The SABC is being audited through a very thorough process by the Auditor General. We have seen the very last, the final management letter with all the details, etc., etc. Now, we cannot allow any uncertainty as to where we will give our support. And therefore, it is... We should phrase it then in such a way that we say the committee notes the response to the interim report where the SABC contradicts the Auditor General. However, because in the previous paragraph we have supported the Auditor General, so we must make it very clear that we support the Auditor General, notwithstanding the fact that the SABC has contradicted that. And that we then indeed move the second part of that section to where the SABC's responses to financial management and auditing is. Thank you, Chair.
No, Chair, I was going to say our role as an inquisitorial committee or inquiry is one of the things that characterizes us characterizes the work that we do is our weighing up of credibility of our witnesses. In this case, we have the Auditor General versus the SABC. The Auditor General has the authority to audit the SABC. He gives us a finding on his authority. The SABC contradicts it, and we want to put the SABC's view in our finding. It can't be. This is our attitude to what the evidence we're given is. The SABC's, we're inquiring on the SABC here, and we know for a fact that there was fruitless expenditure and all of these things that the AG spoke about. We can't then refer to their view, which contradicts an authorized personality, to audit them, to contradict him, and we put it in our report. It can't be.
Chair, you know, I think the two speakers are developing a very bad habit of confusing me. Honorable Killian and Mokwena, I'm not sure they are confusing me. Because how else can the committee be noting? Because the only word that I would have wanted in this sentence was the notes with serious concern or whatever, but we must put a word that says, you know, that we must factor in how strongly we are noting this thing, because it's really concerning. And I do think that whilst I agree with them that we shouldn't be putting the SABC view. But then, why? What contradiction are we talking about if we are not, putting forward this negation, that other statement of the SABC? Because here we have a situation where the SABC is only attributing all its fruitless and wasteful expenditure to the impairment of foreign and sports content, which was acquired in a batch. And the Auditor General is very specific. He's saying 57% of fruitless and wasteful expenditure was acquired due to recruitment processes not being followed. So I am saying, don't nod because I'm disagreeing with you. I am saying we cannot put this point without factoring what the SABC is saying, because the contradiction is that they are saying something else and the AG is saying something else. And Tina, we are with the, obviously we are of the strong view that, I mean, not even of the strong view. We believe in the Auditor General as the Supreme Audit Institution. Maybe we could put Auditor General as the Supreme maybe let's factor in the thing that, you know, the committee notes with concern, the SABC, you know, contradicting the Auditor General, which is the Supreme Audit Institution, or something to that effect. But we do need to present the board views so that whoever is reading the report can understand where is our point of contention coming from.
Chairperson, my submission is that there is no way we can have this paragraph without the side of the SABC. And of course, to me, the sentence does not need noting with concern. At least that is my bit of disagreement with the Honorable Dr. Khoza. The essence of the matter is that we do note it, and we understand the superiority and the integrity of the Auditor General. So, I mean, the very fact that we're noting it and we're putting in the SABC side means that we're able to weigh the probabilities. And it then puts us in a good stead, because we're trying by all means to be as objective as ever. So we need both angles, our own submission and also the submission of the SABC.
Chair, I think we're repeating ourselves unintentionally here. No, yeah, it's end of speech. Chair, we're in danger of replicating the process that we went through yesterday, which is to reflect everything that has been said in one batch. We've done the inquiry. We've asked questions. This is our attitude. This is our finding, our observation, based on what we found, of what we've been told. This is what we think. It's incorrect for us to then put everybody's views here. Because if we're going to do that, then we must do that with the Public Protector's report as well. And say that the public reporter, the public protector said that Motsoeneng is not fit to hold office. But we note the SABC's attitude that they think differently. We can't do that. What is our attitude? And that is what needs to be reflected in these findings. Not when we've gone past that stage of weighing up evidence, we now need to be specific and not render this committee a lame duck that just reflects everybody's view. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Watson, when you respond, I thought, excuse me, I thought Lolibe helped us because she sort of split them, but let's hear what you're saying, sir.
Chair, what's just been said is quite correct. We haven't gone through the report, well, the observation at the moment, and said, okay, in 22.2 we said this, we say this, but the person involved says that, and put a different view throughout the observation. In 22.3.2, we state we support the Auditor General's findings, right? We support it in that regard, that there was fruitless and wasteful expenditure to 92.8 million. Now, he goes and, well, his office, not him, goes and does an audit of the SABC, asks for documents, and comes up with that finding, because the documents that the SABC claimed to have weren't forwarded to the Auditor General, weren't given to him. So, how do we then trust what the SABC is saying to us? Simply because they say it doesn't mean it's true. They say they dispute or they contradict the AG's report in that 57% of fruitless and wasteful expenditure was not due to recruitment processes not having been followed. But if that's the case, why didn't they give him the documentation to back up what they stated? That is because it's their opinion. That's all. So that's why it should be in the summary of submissions. Right? So we put it there to show that we did look at their full submission and we gave it due consideration, but that's where it goes. But we've made a decision as a committee that we are backing the AG's report that there was 98 million rands worth of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. 92.8 million. And as you said before, we've got to put our colours to the mast. It's either black or white. We can't have it both ways. So we must decide what we want to do. We either back the AG or we back the SABC in this regard.
Yeah, I try to be to be a unifier. You know, the suggestion that Lolibe made earlier on, let's just live with that one. Which takes out that latter sentence. You know, the SAPC, however, condensed. She said we must remove that sentence and put it under observation, under the inputs or whatever. You understand what I'm saying? So that you guys are happy. See, we are compromising people.
That's fine.
We think it must be removed. We compromise.
Okay, before you let me explain what maybe Lolibe should explain it, but hold on, because you two are the guys that are having a different view, or the three of you there. Let Lolibe repeat. No. Killian, we tried to convince Killian Waters and Mukwena. Let Lolibe give her point. I'll give my point, and then the three of you will decide if you together with us. Lolibe, repeat your point.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I want to request all of us to go to page 69 of the report. There's a bottom paragraph there. Starting with the word "they" on page 69, until we have the sports content, we leave that where it is. Then the part which says the SABC, however, condemns. We take out condemns in that, but we take that part to page 52, as Honorable Waters has indicated that SABC was alluding to issues of finance. Thanks, Chair.
Right, the three of you are listening to that. My 2 cents were that I'm easier this one, Mukwena, Waters, and Killian. You know, I don't know why 22.3.3 is there anyway. Because look, on top we're talking about fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Now, why do you choose only on that one to dig a little deeper that this fruitless is 23? If we took it out, it wouldn't weaken our case, is my argument. If we took it out totally, because already on top we've said the AG's report indicates 92.8% fruitless and wasteful. I'm arguing that, honourable members, because fruitful and wasteful, whether it's impairment, whether it is whatever, it's treated the same. So why are we arguing about whether it should be this? Must keep a lendole and deal with it. But let's hear what Sydney said.
Yeah, but Chair, if I go back to page 53, that second sentence that we're looking at now is already there in 16.9.4. Page 53.
How would it go?
Yeah, 16.9.4. We state how the SABC feels. So it's there. Leave it there as how they felt, and we take it out later.
All right. I'm going on Manova. No, the proposal now is we're taking it out totally. You've got a different view. Okay, so.
No, Jeff, the only thing that I must cry about is that we must not render this committee a lame duck. That is all. Thanks.
That's your job as members to do that. Okay, so after 15 minutes or 20 minutes of haggling about one point, we decided to take it out, but that's fine. 2334.
I beg your pardon, I'm sorry. 2234. Yes, ma'am. On a lighter note, can we allow Honorable Kova and Honorable Mugwana to go out there? They need fresh air. Well,
they're disturbing us. 2234 on page 70. Yeah, of course it will change. I'm saying in this report. We're noting Killian for now, and members will take a stab of it as they go. But Killian, let's hear what you say.
Chairperson, first of all, I believe it's important that there is such a paragraph. Secondly, we have been very correct in how we describe things. And this one appears to be a little alarmist. And it's good that we make the point, but we don't need to go to the extent of, for instance, the second sentence. I don't agree with that. We can't just make that statement as a looming financial crisis. And then secondly, the last sentence as well, the corporation may be at risk of becoming technically insolvent. I think we must make the point about our concern with regards to the financial sustainability without sounding alarmist. My recommendation is firstly, the committee notes with concern the evidence about the SABC's poor or deteriorating financial management and sustainability. Then we delete the next sentence, and then we delete the words in addition, and we start the sentence with there is a reference in the Auditor General management letter that point to uncertainty on the going concern assumptions. In this regard, the funding model is of a concern, particularly in light of the SABC's mandate as a public entity, as a public broadcaster with a commercial enterprise component. So that would be my recommendation. The funding model, Chairperson, I just want to make the point that it is only in recent years that the SABC has found itself into a funding model crisis. And there are a number of reasons for it, chief amongst those, poor financial management. Because they have made profits. 6-7 years ago, they've made huge profits. So it cannot just be assumed that it is a funding model crisis, but that we can have it investigated by all means. But I just wanted to make sure that we don't just make that sort of final determination that it is a funding model crisis. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, Chairperson, this was Honorable Swart's point. And I think we agreed with the principle that we have to refer to the fact that there is a threat of it being a going concern. I don't know if I agree with the proposed amendments, but maybe we should defer to Honorable Swart to see if he can live with what has been proposed, because this was his idea that it includes this, and we all agreed.
Chair, the point is, we're not alarmists. There is a looming financial crisis.
And that was the whole point in the financial management document. The Auditor General's report went up to 31st of March last year. Subsequent to that, they issued concerns about whether, and that is, they prepared their financial statements on a going concern basis up to 31 March. Then they said in the management letter, subsequent to this, this is what has happened. And that was up to October last year. We are now February. And I'm not saying there is a financial crisis, I'm saying there appears to be. So I don't think it's alarmist. I think, in fact, there is a looming financial crisis. And that needs to be investigated. Part of our mandate was to look into... I'm sorry, Chair, are you able to follow what I'm saying or not? Because part of our mandate was to look into the financial sustainability. So it's not alarmist. I think that, in fact, there is a crisis. There's a crisis. Yes, that it might not be, but their response is interesting. I'm just trying to find it, where they don't deny that there's a financial crisis. They are saying we've got enough assets, so we're not technically insolvent. We've got enough assets in that, but the cash flow, they say, is due to our funding model. So I think there are concerns about that. So we put it quite obliquely, in fact, where we said there appears to be, and we can substantiate that if we want, in the financial management letter. We, in fact, refer to that elsewhere in our document where we go through. There's a paragraph in our findings, in the interim document, that sets out the subsequent financial status. So I think we need to be quite firm on this. And again, in this case, I think that we need to be firm. There's no harm in saying there appears to be a looming financial crisis. The corporation may be at risk of becoming technically insolvent. That is, and we could then say this aspect in the recommendations, we're going to say this must be further investigated. We're looking at the evidence that we've been given now. The SABC has not given us up-to-date financial statements that at this point in time they are able to cover everything. They've given some allusions in the report, yes, but the decrease in available cash has been quite substantial over the years, of available cash in hand. They say they're able to cover their debts at this stage, but the decrease mentioned in that financial management audit report is alarming. It is alarming.
No, Kubis.
Yeah,
you'll respond, Peter.
Yeah, Chairperson, we have conducted an inquiry, and we came up with a body of evidence. And this then will be given to Parliament. And with the board of evidence, somebody out there must come up with corrective measures. Hence, I also don't believe that we are so alarmous or outrageous when we say there appears to be a looming financial crisis. Because it somehow rings alarm bells to say somebody must act. And I'll keep the sentence as it is. Because you are not saying that there is a financial crisis. You're saying there appears to be. And somebody must be on his or her toes to act on it. So I'll have the sentence kept there.
Honourable Killian, you raised... Oh, sorry, before Killian, Waters, and then... No. It'll be Waters, it'll be Swartz, it'll be Koza, and then Killian, because you raised that you will take up out of the house. Waters, Swartz, and then Koza.
Chair, I'd like to support that we keep the paragraph as is. The financial situation at the SABC is dire, and I don't think we should water down the urgency that the finances of the SABC, as far as attention, we shouldn't water down the importance that's needed to give attention to the SAP's finances. And if this committee, if the powers that be see this paragraph, and it makes them sit upright and do something about the funding model, then we've achieved what we set out to achieve. So I think we need to keep it in. As Honourable Swartz has said, those management letters indicate that they clearly indicate that there is a looming financial crisis. And I think we've got to state what are in those financial management letters and, you know, say that it is. And so I would like to urge Honourable Killian to support this paragraph as is, so we can actually get the finances of the SAPC sorted out once and for all. Thanks.
No, Chair. I've now found in our paragraph 6.6 on page 27 of the report, there we set out, and the Auditor General asked us to just change it slightly, which we've now changed, and there we set out the situation, the cash reserves, and the decrease, and it is significant. If you see there, if you read what we've set out in our report, there's been a significant decrease. Look, it says there's a decrease of 37% in cash in just 4 months. That is not a looming crisis, that is a crisis. And then, Chair, if you look at the SABC's response to that report, they then say that they are not insolvent, they're not technically insolvent, they've got enough cash reserves, and they deal with the Auditor General's financial statements on a going concern assumption, and that's fine. But then at the end, on page 86 at the bottom, they then admit that there's a massive decline in the cash reserves. They say the decline in cash reserves is due mainly to capital expenditure investments. This is also evident of the statement of cash flows. Capital expenditure has been funded through operational budget. Now that shouldn't be done, but anyway. And then lastly, there has been a significant increase in unfunded events of national interest that were not budgeted for. These pose a strain on the broadcaster's purse. They're not denying it. They're saying they're under financial strain. So, Chair, I think we need to leave it as it is, and hopefully someone will come alongside and assist the SABC with the financial cash crisis that they're in. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, I'm not necessarily violently opposed to what the members are proposing. However, I need to be clear in my mind that we understand what constitutes a financial crisis within the context of SABC. Does the decrease in reserves really amount to a looming financial crisis? And do we have sufficient evidence as this committee to make such a definite statement? Have we interrogated all the books of SABC? Because we are merely extracting something. There is nothing wrong with us raising a concern around the issues of the funding models and the issues of the funding model. I can understand if we are saying so. But to suggest that there is a looming financial crisis, members, you must understand, you see this term financial crisis, you see when you are talking about 2008 financial crisis, you are talking about banks and the collapse of everything. I mean, let's just understand, you know, that terminology to me I understand the concern, but I'm not sure if I have sufficient evidence before me to escalate it to the financial crisis at this stage.
Maybe in line with the last speaker, Chair, our focus and the guide around the financial status currently will be informed by the report of the Auditor General. And I thought that if we have confined ourselves in the findings of the AG rather than bringing in issues of a financial crisis, which we have not gone deep ourselves to audit the financials of the SABC. Maybe if we can only confine ourselves in that regard, Chair, it would help us to be able to move forward easily without really having to debate things that we're not supposed to be debating around this issue. Thank you.
No, Chair, I think, Chair, again, we must not try and water down our attitude to what is happening at the SABC. I think it's a fact that we're not in crisis mode as yet. But the manner in which finances have been handled at the SABC, and Honorable Swartz he reminded us of that thing, of that 37% decrease in cash flow in 4 months. If things continue as they are, there will be a financial crisis. And that is the reason why the sentence says it appears there will be a looming. Looming means in the future. It's not happening now. And we must guard the SABC against such a looming crisis. We're not saying there's a crisis. We're not being alarmist. We're saying there could be if things continue the way they are. And that is factually correct. If the SABC does not manage its finances properly, if they do not manage their human resources properly, there will be a crisis there. In fact, you know, now I can confidently say, it's just that I would then have to be asked the numbers, which I don't have. I can confidently say that there is a crisis at the SABC. This is the reason why we're here. The Auditor General was here telling us about the last 3 years' reports. There is a crisis there, and we must not run away from that. Our SOEs are dying because we keep this what is that? Kids club. We handle them with kids clubs, and we must not. We must tell them that there's a crisis there, so that somebody will then go into them. The SABC has been in this crisis mode for the last 15, 20 years. Then we must deal with it. And I think it's incorrect to say then it's no longer a crisis. It remains a crisis. Yeah. Yeah. Honorable Makosi must not... Sure, thanks.
You know, I really want to get to Tilly because she started it, but I'm not going to take another new set of hands. You'll be the only exception, Chalky, because you have spoken on it, so you'll have second bite, Loliwe, and then we're coming to you, ma'am. Chalky?
I've made my point earlier, Chair. I've made my point earlier on the focus that we must focus our energy on, rather than the point that Honorable Nkwena is making is informed by the report of the Auditor General. There is no other person other than the Auditor General who has audited SABC. So I'm saying that our focus is going to be at what are the findings of the AG? Then we can raise the concern out of the report of the AG, which is not contested, by the way. No one has called it Chapter 9. Once the report is out, it's out. You know. So I thought that they would focus our energy there and then raise our concerns, obviously. As we move to the fight through the recommendations, we can then even put the recommendations rather than wanting to debate the looming crisis, the bomb coming and all of that. So we can make a recommendation of what must happen. But PSMA already guides you what must happen. If the issue is about the issue of fruitless, wasteful expenditure, PSMA tells you what you must do around those issues. You know, maybe ours is to emphasize, you know, what PSMA says must happen, and it must happen.
Chair, I think of a compromise position, if we say there appears to be a looming financial crisis, is fine. But to go further, to talk to insolvency, I think we are going a bit far.
Can't we take the first phrase and leave the last one of insolvency?
Can we still keep it? Because you said there are other advice, and make us have covered the point.
I'm
going
to suggest the main word.
She's also got, I think she's also got the idea, so can we take care of the point here? Gillian?
Yeah, you see, Chairperson, actually, I just wanted to make sure that the colleagues agree with the poor or deteriorating financial management and sustainability. And then, instead of speaking about a looming crisis, I wanted to suggest that we say there appears to be serious financial challenges. If we say that, then it's not the crisis element, but we know it's been coming for some time, and then we retain the rest and we insert reference to the Auditor General management letters. And then the only other change, we can keep the one, and that's where I differ from Honourable Luliwe. I thought, if we say the corporation may be at risk of becoming technically insolvent, I think we could say that because it's a question of technicality. But the point is, I want to suggest that we're saying, particularly in light of the SABC's mandate as a public broadcaster, and we delete the rest of that sentence. Chairperson, because that, if we speak about the funding model, the public service component of the SABC's responsibility, that is what should be funded adequately. But you see, Chairperson, they are also at fault. They never report in terms of the Act on their public and their commercial entities separately. And that is why we don't know what they are doing. I mean, we have all sorts of scary newspaper articles. Yeah. No, but the point that I'm just making is we've had evidence before us that says that the executive is flying up and down in business class. You know, I mean, if all institutions are really taking the necessary precautionary steps to cut unnecessary expenditure. I just want to make the point that it's not only as a result of a funding model that they find. It's poor financial management. And they must pull in the ropes, and they must make sure that they stop spending so much. But yes, let's not talk about, we can retain the technically insolvent, but let's say serious financial challenge.
That's fine, Chair. I was just going to say that the main issue relates to the cash flow, and that and the cash reserves. That is the critical. Those are the critical part. SABC's got lots of assets, so is that. So I would be happy with that suggestion. I was also, but maybe I was also going to say there appears to be a cash flow challenge, given the significant deterioration in cash reserves at the SABC. Then we take the financial crisis words out. You got that?
So that we don't go around in circles, we must get to a point. We agree that there appears to be a looming financial crisis, changes somehow to talk about serious financial challenges.
Serious financial
crisis. Financial and cash flow, whatever the case might be.
And then I don't know if it's necessary to say, given the deterioration.
No. I'm just taking that point because you say something and then we agree and then somebody introduces
That's
something
true.
Else and we go back. I'm just trying to get us to a point. The looming part comes out and we say there's serious cash flow challenges.
Do you want to end it then?
Killian has suggested financial challenges. Would you live with cash flow challenges?
Cash flow is actually more accurate.
Chauke?
No, that's fine. I think let's agree with that part. But it goes back to one point, Chair. The AG was here. He appeared before us. I said, even the issue of cash flow, it's among the issues that the AG has raised. There are a number of issues that the AG has raised in the Auditor General's report. So I'm saying that I think what we need to do is to make an example, not only that part. It's not only the problem. There are many problems that the AG has identified. You know? So we have to, if we're to, I think we need to emphasize on the findings of the AG. rather, you know, because we'll pick up one and we leave it there, we'll pick up another one, we'll leave it there. Let's emphasize, because your fruitless, well, it's the finding of the AG. Cash flow, mismanagement, failure to comply with Financial Management Act, and all of that is packaged into the AG's report.
But, Chuck, I agree with you, but we've already covered the fruitless and wastefulness. Is that fine? All right, you've got that. Again, you'll have another bite tomorrow. What is the phrase?
No, the ad, given the significant deterioration in cash reserves, that is reflected in our report. So otherwise, you've got to qualify why is there a cash flow problem? Why do we say that? It's a finding. Given the deterioration in cash reserves at the SABC.
That concludes the financial management as we have it. Is there any introduction of new financial management under the heading financial management and sustainability? Anybody wants to bring some other matter in that? We'll put on the table debate, because these we've done with, we're not going back to these. If you want to introduce a new one, you must be able to defend it. On Mkwena, other members will listen and then they will comment and we take a decision. Honorable Mkwena.
Can we take a financial decision on dinner?
Yeah. Our financial decision on dinner is that it's 7:30. That's the decision on dinner, 7:30. So any other one on financial management? Done. All right. The next one on page 70. Let's just start by saying, honorable members, let's just start by saying the position as was when we left still pertains. So there's nothing else that has come. So let's not debate about it. The position is the official one that we received was the one signed by the Minister Yunus Karim in 2014. There's been input from various people talking about others. We've not received any formal notification thereof. So that's the position. Don't ask me about that. Let's go straight into the business of this one. And you'll add to, if you want to add, or you'll edit what we have here currently. 23.11. Comments. Mkwena.
No, Chair. You know, so it depends now which MOI we're discussing here. Because it would appear that the MOI that we have spent 3 paragraphs on here was not even registered. So this discussion is fruitless. What we should do instead of discussing that MOI is to put in point form the minister's failure to administer proper documentation of the SABC. The most important point to be made about the MOI is that it confused the running of the SABC, even though it was not even registered. It was not an enforceable document. So the minister allowed the SABC to be run unlawfully under her watch, under a document that was falsely accepted at the SABC as an official document. That is the first thing. Then I think it's important that we must also point out that the minister failed to administer the board membership. And we note the discrepancies around Hlaudi Motshwene being a board member in 2011, a board of directors in 2011, when he was not qualified to be one.
Can I interrupt you? I'm not going to stop you. 2032 talks about the removal and appointment of board members. I'm just saying, so that if you see the next one, are you saying they're all going to come under 2031?
I'm speaking specifically about documentation now. Because I think those issues we can then thresh them out later. But in terms of the documentation that runs the SABC, the minister failed completely to administer that. And that is the point that needs to be. In point form, we need to discuss one, the failure to register the MOI, the amendments, two, the failure to oversee the board membership according to CIPC documentation. What was the other one? There's quite a few, and I'm sure members will remind me of others. Thanks.
All right. So I'm trying to understand, are we dealing, should I allow people to talk on 23-1-1, 23-1-2, and 23-1-3 all together? The whole lot, that's the suggestion. So, I'll come to you. That's besides 23-1-4. So the whole of 23, everything.
Because we'll have comments on sequencing.
On everything, including removal, everything, you're saying on everything? No, so everything on page 70. Thank you. So we will not talk about appointment and removal. We'll not talk about suspicious documents at this point and those type of things, but we'll talk everything on page 70. Okay. You want to make a proposal? All right, make a proposal. Can members indicate that who wants to speak? It looks like. All right, everybody wants to speak, but let's hear. You'll be the last because you started it, obviously. But let's hear the proposal.
No, the proposal, Chair, was that can we have a five-minute stretch? five-minute stretch, because we are now going to be starting a new dimension in the whole MOI, just to stretch and pick up more energy. I'm proposing that.
There's a proposal. Members must either accept a... or whatever. Remember, our formal break is at 7:30, and remember that you all agreed that nobody goes home until we're done with this thing today. So do you want a 5-minute break? All right, we'll be back at 7:30. You'll be back at 7:30. No, my watch says 5:25. No, I'm saying 6:30, we're saying 5 minutes, no? About 10 minutes. 6:30, is it right? 6:30? All right, we'll be back at 6:30. Makwena, it's done, deal. What do you want, Bob?
No, Chair, I think also this decision on 7:30 is not democratic.
7:30?
Yeah, that's 7:30 decision.
You want it earlier?
It must be much earlier. No,
okay, yeah. Is it possible? All right, honourable members, let's agree that we'll try and bring it earlier, but we're working on it. We had already arranged for 7:30, but if you can have 10 a bit earlier, we'll do that. Yes, let's finish MOI before we go to dinner. Yes, we can't break our point. Makwena's crying. Thank you.